aboard, you people. Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeBlanc. To suffer another day of broadcasting.
Yes.
Yeah, no problem. I was my own traffic incident today.
I know. You came in, walked into the studio, kind of stormed in with a... I was like, Woo. Oh, it's already starting out that way.
Yeah, it was
high-speed chase.
It was a video game to get to work. Today, I was, you know, I got off the other job, and then I had to run up north for a second, then I'm coming back down on the Kennedy. And the Kennedy, you know, not moving. And so some of the traffic had moved over to the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Love when that happens.
At least one car I know was on the shoulder.
And, yours.
And then got off at Ohio, came down, and then there was some crazy hazmat situation on Columbus.
Fire truck, whole thing.
Fire, all kinds of crazy things.
Not a lot of space there for the fire truck and the whole scene. So, you weren't winning no matter which way you went. That's how it is some days.
So I called in to Lauren, and I said, there's traffic on the shoulder of the Kennedy, even though it was just me. And then... then there's a hazmat situation on Columbus.
I was going to say
Columbus in what?
Ohio, between Ohio and Grand.
Yeah, that's not a hazmat situation. That's a accident. I'm looking at it right now. Actually, they're still over there. It was an injury accident that has been sitting there for a while.
They seem to be washing down the pavement there. I don't know.
Separate issue, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's even more horrifying when I think about it.
Well, actually, now that you mention that, it might be connected, and we don't want to know the details.
Yeah, no.
Oh.
I want to say this, though. Whatever that car on the shoulder was, I want that guy pulled over. He's a maniac.
Yeah, I got a lot of calls and complaints about that.
Uh-huh.
I was like, by any chance, is the license plate blank?
I
just want to know the tone, because it's the tone of the Rokon phone call when he's stuck in traffic, because it sounded far too calm the way you just described it, Rob.
Yeah, but when he calls, it's like...
I'm calling it an anonymous tip.
I was like, is this
we got a car on the shoulder.
Right. Is this Ro or a crane that learned how to use a phone?
The guy looked just like that guy from Woody City Live.
I know.
You know him, that one?
But it's not him. And if he gets pulled over, that's not him.
He was driving a Chevy. From AppleChevy.com.
All right, maybe. I got to tell you, the Blazer
sticker on the back.
The Blazer is shockingly fast. That's all I want to say. Anyway, I'd like to apologize to everybody on the Kennedy. I'd like to apologize to the John F. Kennedy family. I'd like to apologize. They know about going fast on things. I'd like to
Apple Chevy for the poor representation of their vehicle by driving on the shoulder.
I think it showed off the vehicle. I remember we got to see the vehicle, which I thought was nice.
What were they saying when they saw that vehicle, do you think?
Is that one of those Blazers Ro's been talking about?
No, that's not what they were saying.
It's like the Blazer.
Like, that guy thinks
about.
He can do that?
Who's that jerk?
Yeah, who's that?
But nice car.
Exactly what they were saying.
Well, you said coming in was like a video game. We're just happy it wasn't like Frogger.
Oh gosh, I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Coming up on the program, thank you for all of your concern. I mean, nobody seemed to be concerned about the pavement or me.
Just the others around you.
I think I should go and thank God I wasn't involved in the accident. Over there on Ohio. And,
you weren't, though.
No. Columbus.
Not hazmat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't seek sympathy for something you weren't part of.
I'm going to try. When does that start in my life?
Right.
All right.
Happy you're safe, Ro. Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. We have, coming up on the program, Ben Bradley is going to join us. It's very interesting. You know, your Ring doorbell camera is going to be... a super spy.
For the police?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, we'll explain that coming up. And then we are personally, also this hour, we are going to lobby the city council of Chicago to allow us to open up a pot store in the basement here.
With Mr. Patel?
I'd like Mr. Patel to have his own pot store, is what I would like to
have. Yeah, he's got everything else.
Yeah. Uh-oh, hold on.
Is your Siri talking to you?
Yes, now she's talking to me.
Did you make it to work, Ro?
No, she's yelling about... You are not supposed to drive on the shoulder, sir!
Oh, that's the one connected to your car, kind of telling you about your behavior?
Well, God, I hope not. That is the one thing I do not want. And I know that they can do it, because I've had conversations with the folks.
Uh-huh.
They know where your car is and what it's doing at all times.
They do. They absolutely do. And they know how you're driving in many cases. My car stopped for me the other day. It was a very weird situation.
My car actually sent an email to my Alexa and to Tojo the toilet and told them both to have a talk with me.
It's bad.
About my behavior.
They're all colluding.
Oh, yeah.
Against you.
Yes. That's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
A tech intervention.
Yes. I have been, right. I've been colluded against. I'm another victim like that. All right. Coming up, as I mentioned, we're gonna get a pot store. It may be in our own basement.
That's what you're pushing for.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what
we have Alderman Riley here, and he wants them in the downtown district, the business district, even though that's not what the city council and the mayor had initially planned.
Right. Well, the mayor, right? Isn't it the mayor?
I think it really is the mayor. Just the proposal, initial proposal. She wanted them outside the downtown business district and in some of the neighborhoods, and they've cut it up in different zones for different reasons. He can tell us more about that.
All right. All that coming up. That's just the first hour. And then we got to, how much would it take for you to become a Packers fan? We're going to find out the answer to that question.
Big number.
No, so Kim is not here today.
She's not. You guys are safe.
Yeah.
Go Bears.
Yeah. There you go. And that Don Kleppen isn't here either. I never want to see his face.
Who does he like?
He likes the Packers.
Yeah,
too.
He's a Packer fan.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a few of them. They've infiltrated the station.
Oh, man.
I know. Well, this is the station's known for its inclusion and being open-minded about things.
I know.
But that's where it's got to stop. You know, I'm fine. You want to have, differing opinions about things? Fine. But not about that. And if you ask Ed Obradovich how he feels about that and see what happens.
Oh, gee.
All right. Coming up is all of that. But first, let's check in with Jen DeSalvo and find out what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
The Feds cut rates today. I'll tell you how much coming up shortly.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Ben Bradley joins us in the WGN-TV newsroom.
Hello. Good afternoon, Ro.
Good
Anna.
Afternoon.
Nice to be with you.
Good
Benjamin.
Afternoon, Ben.
All right, so your Ring camera, your
Ding
Ring
dong.
Doorbell,
yep.
Right, is now going to be it's a spy. It's basically looking out and trying to figure things out.
Easy. So the Chicago Police Department is embarking upon a pilot program with Ring in which if a crime occurs outside a home that has a Ring doorbell camera, mm-hmm. as has happened repeatedly in the city of Chicago, everything from package thefts to shootings have been caught on these Ring doorbell cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago Police, in partnership with Ring, will be able to send a message through the Ring app to a homeowner that says, hey, can we have your video? And the homeowner will have the opportunity to say yes or no.
Oh.
So it's an opt-in sort of thing, and it's worth mentioning that Ring has these partnerships with police departments across the country. In fact, many suburbs from Arlington Heights, Naperville, and some others. So when you think about it, the city of Chicago has already been doing a more aggressive version of this with downtown businesses that have actually given them live access to their surveillance cameras.
Can you also, I know there was a program, I don't know that if it took off and it continued, but there was a pilot program that the city would reimburse you up to like $30 for your purchase of home security camera if they had access to the network.
Interesting. I don't remember that.
And I don't either, but it sounds like a good idea if you would like to opt into that.
Right. Like, so we know, like, Xfinity has their home security system. Obviously, ADT and the rest of those companies that all do that. AT&T, I think, has one, too. So if you want to opt in, the city was going to defray some of your cost to put you into the to put your camera onto their network.
In the suburb where I live, I know the police department's been really proactive at saying, hey, let us know if you have video cameras at your house, because that way, and we'll create a little map, and that way, if there is a crime near we instantly know, hey, that person may have video footage. And it really can help save them time, especially if there's something urgent that they're responding to. But, downtown businesses especially have been really proactive at giving the Chicago Office of Emergency Management real-time access to their cameras.
Yeah.
Because access means, they can actually see what's going on and, direct a response accordingly. And Chicago by itself already owns and operates, I think the number I saw is like 40,000 cameras across the city. Think about the vast camera network that exists. You know, everything from those police pod cameras to traffic cameras to, you know, surveillance cameras on buildings to, you know, all of it. It's wild.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Highly
amazing
sophisticated, too. I mean, you have ones that can detect gunshot sounds and can point in different directions. And it's really remarkable. I wonder here, couldn't they just subpoena them anyway? Or is that, this would just
absolutely,
be an easier way around
absolutely
that?
Absolutely, they can subpoena video. But think about it, you know, if you've got a shooting outside, you know, a certain location, you think the shooter was caught on camera, and you can just, the police department can send an alert through the Ring app to the homeowner who may not be home right away and say, hey, push this button and we'll share that video.
It's pretty easy to do.
You know, with the department, it really, really could help.
And they want, maybe even if the shooting wasn't near their house, they're also going to want the video of the escape, you know,
exactly.
the person getting away.
Exactly.
We have some of the audio. We have the audio of the, as you pointed out, a Ring camera picking up shooting here in Chicago on the South Side just a few weeks ago.
Hey, call police! Call police!
It is incredible to think of the thing, the amount of things that are captured on these cameras nowadays, because they're everywhere.
And that's right outside someone's door. Think about that.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy stuff. Well, good. I mean, this is, all right. Take back what I said earlier.
Whoa, did we just talk Roe down off a ledge?
What?
That is the first time in history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
You're on board now.
What are your feelings on Kim Fox? If they,
oh, gosh.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Moving on. Let me tell you what we're covering on the WGN Evening News from 4 to 7 today.
Oh, why did you say her name?
Thanks, Ben. That's very nice of you. Love when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
great job.
Go ahead.
So an emotional day of testimony in the courtroom where the murder trial is underway for two men accused of taking part in the murder of 9-year-old Tyshawn Lee. He's the little boy you'll remember a couple of years ago who police say was lured into an alley to be executed, all because of an ongoing gang feud allegedly involving the boy's father. The boy's grandmother took the stand today, so we're covering that. Also, this shooting downtown Chicago, just west of the Loop in the Fulton Market District.
Mm-hmm.
A woman was found shot and bleeding on the street. And police apparently are looking for a guy who pedaled off on a bicycle. Our Gaynor Hall is covering that. And Aaron Ivory has a nice story involving firefighters who are looking to raise money for their colleagues through biking. And then Patrick Elwood at 5 o'clock's got the story of, you know, there are other communities beyond Chicago that are about to get a casino. Obviously, the south suburbs and yet-to-be-determined casino, but also up north in Waukegan. And Pat Elwood has got a hold of some of the newest images, what that might look like, talking with folks up in Waukegan.
I bet it's real nice, because they do real nice up in Waukegan. That's beautiful downtown. The Genesee Theater is beautiful.
Yeah,
that's nice.
It is.
And then they got a statue of Jack Benny. Mm-hmm. That's nice.
You know,
it ends right about there.
We reported about a year or so ago that revenue from video gaming machines had surpassed casino revenue in the state of Illinois. So imagine now adding even more casinos. It's going to be interesting. You got to believe we're beyond the point of saturation.
And you're mispronouncing that.
Yes.
Because Willie Wilson pronounced it casino.
Casino.
It's a casino.
Yes.
We need another downtown casino.
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
And it's pronounced Gina.
Thank you, Ben.
You got it.
I'm not going to fall for that one. All right. We've got the news of Jen DeSalvo coming your way in 2 little minutes. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. All right, it's Wednesdays with Brendan.
I thought it was Tuesdays with Brendan.
I know, but it's Wednesday, so there's nothing we can do about that. The man has screwed us up completely. Brendan Riley, he is the alderman in the Fighting 42nd here in Chicago, and I'd like to make an appeal, Alderman, and I hope that this isn't inappropriate, but then again, this is Chicago. Everything is inappropriate. I'd like to get a pot store downstairs here at 303.
Okay. Just in the basement area. Patel, his place right there.
He's got Mr. Patel has the best, you know, sort of magazine shop, whatever we call those things, a convenience store, in-building convenience store in America. There's no question about it.
Greatest range of candy.
He gives...
Including hard-to-find things. Bottle caps, spray, things like that. It's all there.
We went to go look for CBD oil, and 2 weeks later, he put it on his menu. Now he's got it. No one buys it, and he's taking a loss just because of us. So I want to give him back the opportunity to, you know, to have pot. Now, I'm being told that the aldermen, some of them, I think maybe even you included, would like to see... this business be available in the what is now prescribed by the mayor's proposal, a no-go zone. For
an exclusion zone.
Yeah.
So this is the initial draft of the zoning ordinance that would control where cannabis can be sold. And, you know, on that subject, the mayor and I have a bit of a disagreement. Mm-hmm. But my hope is that over the course of the next month or so, we can find some consensus and maybe make some tweaks and changes. You know, the mayor, I think, has a legitimate concern that the way the state law is written, the incumbent medical marijuana dispensaries, the folks that already exist,
right,
they automatically convert to recreational use January 1.
Okay, and because those guys spent a lot of money to get those licenses.
A lot of risk. They took on all the early risks.
Right. So they need to be taken care of.
So that's it is appropriate, true. And I don't question that for a moment. But the other part of the state law says that each of those 11 dispensaries in Chicago get an additional recreational license. So they'll be the first ones to market with these brand new licenses. And of course, folks are going to want to be as close to the central core as possible.
Sure.
Because that's where the tourists are and the commuters.
Foot traffic, the most people.
600,000 commuters a day. Yeah, wow. All that. And I think the mayor has some concern that all those incumbents would rush here, flood the downtown market to the exclusion of other folks that come in the future.
Well, let me ask you this. Isn't there a possibility that like a lot of businesses, you can only have them within a certain district, essentially, within themselves,
right?
So that's, you say that, you know, people have to be a mile or a mile and a half apart or whatever that happens to be, so it's spread out.
It's 1,500 feet. You can't have a dispensary within 1,500 feet of another dispensary.
That's 500 yards.
It's not a lot.
5 football fields. It's nothing.
It's not a lot. So, you know, that's one sticking point where I think I'm hoping to make some progress with the administration. I'm suggesting a couple of licenses downtown and to start, because that's where the revenue is going to come from. For me, I'm not supporting recreational marijuana program in Chicago so people can catch a buzz and have a good time. I mean, that's, I guess, an ancillary benefit. I want the revenue, and the city desperately needs it, and I think we all know you need to sell this stuff as close to the tourists as you possibly can.
So we want them stoned.
They're going to eat a lot more food in the restaurants.
Right, and then forget to go to the emergency room and not avail themselves of any of our services. That's the thing. I want them to leave town without costing me a dime and leaving all their money behind.
Well, I'm also thinking these folks will take the architecture boat tour.
Oh, yeah.
Get stoned.
Oh, my God.
They're going to forget they took that tour, and then they're going to take it again.
Yes.
See, you double down on the tourist money. I see what you're saying.
I love that.
I see an economic multiplier here.
You know what?
Perfect.
How about the stoner cruise? We got to do that on the river with the people with the
right.
You know,
what would that entail? Do you think just a lot of stopping for munchies, or would you?
I'm telling you,
kind of psychedelic light show.
Here's what happens: it stops in front of the merchandise mart.
Right,
and it just
art
on the mart, and they just watch the zebra and the giraffe walk across the mart, because that's basically what's being projected onto the mart at night, and they're like, dude, this stuff is really good.
Major moneymaker. I see it.
People throwing donuts at the boat from upstairs.
Right. Oh, my God. Just nothing but like a donut vault on the boat.
Yeah.
Pizza place. I'm telling you,
That's a great idea.
I got this whole thing worked out.
It's perfect.
Well, all right, so the downtown thing, because I know that, you know, people are talking about Michigan Avenue. You know, you don't want to mess up Michigan Avenue.
Right.
But, you know, I'm now a very famous stoner because I got stoned once in Los Angeles a couple of weeks ago. It was the first time, since high school.
Yeah, sure.
Don't tell my parents.
Okay, yo.
And I saw we went into the store to see what goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And the store was amazing. It looks just like, you know, the Apple store where you buy your phones and your computers.
Yeah.
And it's got the same kind of vibe, and it's this, you know, beautiful interior. It's not a head shop.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You don't feel sketchy.
No.
I've been touring dispensaries and actually a grow facility in Joliet. The grow facility has more cameras than the average casino does. So the security is super tight.
They know what they're doing, these guys.
Yeah,
these
seems like it. Very high tech.
They were ready for this industry. The people who went into this industry seemed to be, you know, there were professionals that understood the process here and what it was going to take to make this and to sell it. So, like, Michigan Avenue, where the old Apple store is,
right. I mean,
my concern is, and I know it's also yours, too, because you're the alderman for part of this, that Michigan Avenue, it's got a lot of retail getting out.
Yeah.
So as we're going through this conversion, the Amazon effect, we need to put other businesses in those spaces. Mm-hmm. And the question is, you know, like there's WeWork and there's other things that I kind of want to go in. But if you're going to do experiences, that seems like a no-brainer. And I think those guys would overpay for that position.
They probably would. You know, Mayor Lightfoot is I think, rightfully wanting to protect the reputation of the Mag Mile. They spent a lot of time building that brand. She feels strongly that they don't belong on the Magnificent Mile.
How does the Mag Mile people feel? Mag Mile Association feel?
They're actually, right now, they've not taken a formal position. I think they're waiting to see how the negotiations play out and where this ordinance lands. So they're actually not, they haven't drawn a bright line in the sand on this. For me, I can appreciate where the mayor's coming from. So if one of the compromises is that we exclude the Mag Mile and, say, State Street and the Loop from dispensaries.
Why State Street?
To allow for some in the Loop, I'd be willing to make that trade.
Why State Street?
We have several charter schools on State Street. You might not know that. And it's proximity to the Red Line stops. We've got a lot of kids out there. Just the idea is we want to just keep that away from State Street. Frankly, you walk down State Street any night of the week, it already smells like weed. So we don't want to.
That's my point.
We want
and
to double
it's
down.
Got Rossies. I mean, let's just face it.
Well, I mean south of the river on State Street. North of the river is a different story.
Okay.
I meant in the Loop.
Mm-hmm. All right. That makes sense.
Well,
right.
It also seems to me like if you're, 90 licenses would be granted roughly to begin with the idea there might be expansion.
Right.
But there are so many rules in place, the 500 feet from a school, the 1,500 feet that you said from another dispensary. You can't have it in a residential zone, and you can't have it in any building that has a resident in it. It already seems so highly restrictive that I wonder how you would even do that unless you go to a true business district like the downtown area.
Yeah. So for the neighborhood wards, there are small, you know, business zoning districts in the neighborhood wards. You'd be able to do that there by obtaining a special use license through the Zoning Board of Appeals, which empowers neighbors. You know, neighbors show up at these hearings. They can object. That's one way you can prevent one of these from coming to your neighborhood. But I think the nature of residential neighborhoods is such, no one wants to live right next door to one of these things.
Right, next door would be tough, I think.
So I think it's going to be harder to site these in the neighborhoods, which is, you know, I think where the administration would like to see the bulk of them go. Whereas downtown, you've got areas where it's not going to disrupt residential neighbors.
Right.
Where you can put these in a commercial building or in the basement of this one if you'd like.
Yeah, that's what I love.
And it really is unobtrusive and not bothering anyone. There's also this stigma with these dispensaries that if you have a dispensary on a block, people would be sitting out front smoking dope. That's not how it works. These things are hermetically sealed, child-resistant, tamper-proof packaging.
Right.
And the license holder for the dispensary is on the hook for what happens on their frontage. So if there's any of this activity going on their frontage, guess what? Their license is at risk.
Oh, that's interesting.
This is very much like a liquor store in essence, but I think even cleaner in a lot of respects because and liquor store and the big liquor store, it's the Binnie's of the world, right? I mean, that's not a problem to have on you want a business like that with a parking lot and that's a very great retail institution. The little liquor stores, depends on what you're doing. It depends. And the neighbors, and you know what that's all about in the neighborhoods, right? There's a lot of people who have got problems with that.
That's right.
I just think that these dispensaries, the way that they are going to be done and what they have to bring in and the process that is already prescribed for them in terms of what they have to do for security, as you just point out, just the packaging alone.
They are hyper regulated. And the big distinguishing factor between a liquor store and a dispensary, dispensaries have security, armed security, off-duty cops on premise to check every ID.
Right.
So that is a far more secure institution than a liquor store.
Yeah. Yes.
Sounds like it.
Hey, you got to, forget it.
How old are you? I love when they say 21. You're like, you shouldn't say exactly 21. You should always say 22.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Too suspicious.
I never thought about this as the kind of business that it is until I saw it. You know, I mean, it's this is totally different. I think one of the problems that we're having here is that we've got people who rightfully are afraid of it because it's got, you know, it's got stigma. But if you saw the way the business is operating in the states, it's already legal. It's a very different experience than what you think. And it's really a high-end experience. And that's the thing that, high-touch, I should say, not high-end, but high-touch experience. Yeah. Because of the way they have to do it. And you've got these curators. I mean, the thing in California was nuts. I mean, these are people who are, it's like when you go to Benny's, you go to the wine section, yeah. Right? And you've got
they know people, everything.
Right.
They don't call them sommeliers, they're bud tenders.
Bud tenders, yes.
That's right.
Right, yeah. And they know everything. Now, I think
do you go to school for that, to be a bud tender?
You do, actually.
Oh.
You
do. Bro, you got to do that.
And I'm just telling you something right now. They're making it up. I could just tell right now. I mean, I was listening.
Fake credential.
This guy's giving an appeal to us about what this is going to do. And I'm like, and I turn to my friends, you know, who actually do this. And I go, he does not know what he's talking about.
But it sounded good.
Yeah,
right?
It sounded great. Uh-huh. So that's it. All right, really quick before we go. The other side of this coin, of course, is the vaping situation.
Sure.
Here in Chicago. We clearly, we're at the epicenter of whatever was going on here, yeah, with these kids getting sick,
right?
And what else can now? Obviously, you know, you got the federal government. Everybody's kind of jumping in on this. What else can the city do?
Well, what do politicians do? They overreact. So I've been following this really closely. It sounds like the vast majority of these lung illnesses are tied to vitamin E. Glycerins that are used to make the vape product, that's black market. So these big, the big marijuana companies don't use vitamin E.
Right.
They use a very safe glycerin. They've had no reported problems with this. It also is not being tied to the traditional Juul or non-THC vapes. Mm-hmm. What they're finding is this is mostly black market product being done on a stovetop, and then they're selling these in mass quantities. So the kids who are getting sick, first of all, shouldn't be smoking THC through a vape.
Right.
But they definitely shouldn't be buying this stuff from folks they don't know. You'd have no idea. If you're not buying it from a licensed manufacturer, you don't know what's in there.
Right.
So my colleagues, a few of them today introduced an ordinance that would actually completely ban vaping in the city of Chicago, which I think is a bit of an overreaction. I've talked to you guys about vaping before.
Yep.
For non-THC vapes, for a lot of folks, they used those to wean themselves off of more dangerous cigarettes. But I think, you know, if you look at the city law today, you have to be 21 to buy any kind of vape. These kids getting sick aren't 21, so they shouldn't be accessing it in the first place.
As the alderman just said, know your drug dealer. I think that's what I just took from
that. Did not say that, bro.
Great takeaway.
Did not say that. Did not
tell
say
the kids.
That. Did not say that.
All right, I said that. Kids, know your drug dealer. All right, Alderman, thank you very much. Appreciate
thanks,
it.
Alderman
thank
Riley.
You.
All right, let's check in with Jen. What's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour?
And we've just been talking about e-cigarettes. They're still going to be sold in Chicago despite one alderman's attempt to get them banned. So we have some audio from what happened exactly today from the mayor on that coming up in just a few.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. Concho with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
720 WGN. That music means the one thing that we know that music always means.
True.
Adam Kinzinger, he's a congressman. He joins us. He's our official congressman. Mm-hmm. We have our official alderman. And I was just, Brendan Riley, I don't know if you know him, Adam, but he's an alderman here in Chicago downtown, and I'm trying to get a pot store downstairs in our building.
Building, as one exception to the downtown business district zone rule that may be passed, we want one right here.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that might be.
Well, the good thing is that'll, cancel out the alcohol, so it'll be a show that makes sense.
He takes a shot. All right, now that you've fired the first shot. All right, well, okay, so speaking of shots, let's talk about a serious subject, which is Iran. So here you got the Secretary of State has just landed in Saudi Arabia. He's in Riyadh. He's talking to all the people who run that joint. And he said that what happened there was an act of war. And you actually had somebody from the White House earlier today say that the Saudis consider this to be their 9/11. I don't think that's an appropriate way for them to feel or for the White House to say, but it is what it is. Do you think we're heading toward conflict here?
You know, it's hard to tell. I do. I mean, there's no doubt it's an act of war. And, you know, I haven't seen all the information yet, but from what I'm hearing, very confident this came from Iran. And I'll tell you, we have really good ways to tell and, you know, historical evidence, et cetera. But that said, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt if Iran attacked a Saudi oil facility, taking half of the, you know, Saudi production offline, that's an act of war. You know, same with shutting down, frankly, the Straits of Hormuz. That's an act of war. Now, what does the response, you know, what is the response is a different question. And I think, you know, there's any number of options we have on that. But I do think there needs to be some level of response.
Okay. So I guess the big question is, and we've done that. We've done things, you know, throughout the years. I mean, you go back, you know, in the last decade or so, whether we, you know, reversed their, or, well, let's say we, the, their centrifuges got reversed, while they were working on
magic.
Right through magic, mm-hmm. While they were working on, you know, nuclear fissile materials. There's other ways to kind of handle that in a, not a kinetic way, right?
But I think there are a couple options here. Here's the problem. So, you know, from what I'm hearing, and again, I just read this in open source too, there was likely a cyber response to this drone shootdown. Keep in mind, the drone shootdown, that was a $150 million asset. That's like losing 10 F-16s in terms of cost. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the size of an airliner. So what's happened is every time when the president pulled back, I think that emboldens Iran. Iran is going to keep doing this stuff. They're not going to stop. And so I think the couple of options are a few things, frankly. Number one, you can take out the assets that Iran used to commit this airstrike. Very proportional response, similar to what we used to do in Northern and Southern Watch in Iraq. Second option, take out some of Iran's oil facilities, right? That is an opportunity, again, a proportional response. Or what I think is actually more proportional is to actually go after Iranian troops and assets in other countries like Syria. So think about this. Iran, in essence, attacks the United States through Syria or through Saudi Arabia. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a message intended for us as much as anybody. We have plenty of Iranian targets in Syria right now, and not only would that send a strong message to those targets in Syria and to the Iranians, it would also have a real impact on a very strong humanitarian crisis there. So I think any number of things are an option, but I think to do nothing is only going to invite the next attack, whatever that is.
Congressman, what about sanctions? Because that's what the president and Secretary Pompeo are talking about. More sanctions will be announced within the next 48 hours against Iran. That's going to be, at least it seems, the initial response to what's going on here. Monday, he was talking about taking some sanctions off the table in order to have a meeting with the Iranians. But today, loading more sanctions onto them as a response to this.
Yeah, I don't know what's left, but I'm sure there's some things. And I'll tell you, if you know, when the president's talking about lifting sanctions to talk with Iran, and then Iran does this, it needs to be clear to people that Iran has no interest in negotiating or talking with the United States. They're hurting really bad right now because of what the sanctions are doing, and I think we're willing to talk to them about a nuclear deal that includes their behavior in the region as well as some other things. But this isn't new for Iran. I mean, all you have to do is look back to basically 1979 on, and you can point to Iranian attacks against American proxies or against America all over the world. And the other thing I want to say is this. For those that are talking about Yemen all the time, Yemen is an important thing, and it's a humanitarian crisis. But let's not put this humanitarian crisis on the United States or Saudi Arabia. The reality is, I was in Yemen just a few months before that government was overthrown by the Houthi rebels. Iran puts all kinds of weapons to the Houthi rebels. They hide these weapons in the middle of town so that when they're bombed, people are killed. And Iran has not given $1 of humanitarian aid to this crisis. We have, and somehow we have people here in the United States that are blaming the United States and Saudi Arabia for the tragedy in Yemen, and it's not that, it's the Iranians.
Okay, so I want to go back to this point about a response, and if you do a symmetrical response here that is a military response, should we be doing it or should the Saudis be doing it?
Well, I think it has to be us, because if the Saudis do it, you just basically start a World War III in the region. It's the same as, you know, if Israel would strike back, you know, when the Arab-Israeli tensions were extremely intense. The United States has the capability to overcome air defenses of Iran. And frankly, this is an attack that affected us, too. I mean, look at what it's doing to free commerce. Look at the threats in the Straits of Hormuz. If Saudi Arabia does this, I mean, it's literally going to be, I think, a massive regional war.
The actions you described earlier about it, the attacking on their oil facilities or on the area where the attack on our drone originated, today the foreign minister just this afternoon from Iran released a statement saying, we seek de-escalation, but will deliver a crushing response to any military action or evil action taken by the U.S. That was just words. Should that be taken seriously? How do you process that when you hear the Iranians say
what
that?
What capabilities do they have anyway?
Yeah, it should be taken seriously, you know, but they said the same thing when we struck twice in Syria, and they've done nothing. Keep in mind, the Israelis strike Iran all the time in Syria, and it doesn't even make news anymore because it's so common. Iran has capabilities to energize proxies in other areas. So Lebanon, you know, with Hezbollah, they have Iranian assets, or Shia regimes, Shia militias, basically, in Iraq. So they do have options, but they know... I mean, they're smart people. They know that an escalation will result in, if it's a proportional response by the United States, finally, keep in mind, we had every right to respond last time, and then they escalate, the world opinion will turn against them, and we do have massive responses that we can do in response to an escalation. Nobody wants to get there, but the point is, if we continue to not do anything, then I think this is going to escalate. You know, it's the old idea of peace through strength. Sometimes if a bully keeps punching you in the nose, you got to hit him back and he's going to quit punching you. And if he decides to fight, you just beat his face in.
Do they have capabilities that extend beyond, do you think, beyond the region? I mean, obviously they could lob missiles, you know, across the straits right at Saudi. So that can happen. But in terms of touching us here, I mean, how much of an escalation of this would we be worried about as, you know, other than terrorist attacks, right, here?
Yeah. I think, you know, look, the terrorist thing, yes. I think the Iranians have less kind of sleeper cells in the United States than we used to fear. Now our biggest concern is like Al-Qaeda or ISIS. There are American troops that would potentially be in harm's way. You know, I spent two miserable weeks in Al Udeid Air Base in Qatar, and that's within missile range as well as some other bases. We have some pretty solid, rock solid air defense. And again, I think any kind of an attack by Iran would, on a U.S. installation would just result in complete devastation. And they know that. And look, they're not suicidal. They don't want to be out of power. But at this point, they think they can keep doing these things. I don't understand fully why they think they can, but they think they can keep doing these things without a response.
Yeah. But I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here, but in terms of Syria, you know, obviously the president, and this seems to be an issue, Mattis's new book that has come out, you know, they talk about this, about, you know, unilateral withdrawals of our forces, whether it was, you know, Iraq or Syria or any of those places, or potentially in Afghanistan. Do you think it's wise for us to decrease our presence in the region?
No, and here's the thing. You know, whether it's Syria or whether it's Afghanistan, we don't think a lot about terrorism right now because we haven't had a terrorist attack in this country in a while. There's a reason. It's not because terrorists have gone away. It's not because they've changed their goals. It's because we fought them over there. And we fight them with really tough men and women in uniform with a lot of cool equipment that can do it. And so it's kept us safe. You know, this is a generational fight. And so we always kind of have this problem where when terrorism or something's not on the front burner, we think we don't have to do anything anymore. And then we find out, like we did on 9/11, that, in fact, they're planning even when we're not. Syria, by the way, has been the textbook of exactly what some of the anti-interventionalist people have been saying, which is, hey, use special forces with local forces to empower local forces to do the fighting. That's exactly what we've done in Syria to great success, taking out ISIS. And so the idea that the American people are screaming to leave Syria is simply not true. This is an example of, frankly, how we should be doing war so we don't have to send 200,000 troops in to do it for us.
All right, and the other story here that is gaining momentum today is Adam Schiff, the other Adam. That's the way how they refer to him on the Capitol Hill.
You know. Adam,
yeah, is requesting he wants information on this whistleblower at the office of the Director of National Intelligence, and it's not forthcoming. And, you know, we'll see where that lays. Are you, as a member of Congress, are you concerned about the executive branch's lack of cooperation with the oversight responsibilities that you guys on Capitol Hill have?
Yes and no. So yes, in that, you know, we do have a role, and on a lot of things, the administration is very cooperative. You know, we get Secretary of State in front of our committee, you know, assistant secretaries, et cetera. But here's the problem. They've made it clear that they just want to go after the political side of this and impeach the president, have impeachment hearings. Everything is a scandal in their mind. And so I think there's a point at which the administration has to push back. Every whistleblower has a right to be heard. That's the law. But look, Adam Schiff, to be quite honest with you, the guy that has information, quote unquote, that's going to guarantee the impeachment of Donald Trump, that's never brought that forward. At some point, the administration has to resist and push back, and I think that's what they're doing. But I don't know this story all that well. That's kind of news to me.
Okay. All right, Congressman Kinzinger, thank you very much.
Thanks, Congressman.
Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye. There he goes.
There he is.
All right. Let's now check in with Jen DeSalvo. She has got the WGN News at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?
I'm going to talk more about pot. It's going to be legal in the state of Illinois, but the mayor doesn't want it sold downtown.
She's wrong about that.
I'm going to tell you all about it.
Yeah, she won't. She won't return a phone call. So.
Oh no.
Yeah, I know. All right.
So Sunday on WGN TV, celebrate the 25th anniversary of the hit TV show Friends with the pilot episode and episodes of memorable moments. 25 years of Friends Sunday night at 6 on WGN TV.
Yeah, they're all about specials over there now.
All about the 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
The morning show, the Friends. That's Sunday. We already saw the one last night for the WGN TV morning news show.
Got it.
It's very good.
All right. The Hoka One One Chicago Half Marathon.
I'm sure that's how it's pronounced.
It is.
Is it, Jen?
It is. And that's the scary thing. I've been wearing Hoka since 2011, and I've been calling them Hoka One Ones.
Yeah,
Hoka One Ones.
It's One One.
It's One One.
I was watching one of the Ironman contests. It might have been the one in Hawaii a couple weeks ago on broadcast TV. And they were like, sponsored by Hoka One One. And I'm like, what is this?
Do we know what this means? Hoka One One?
No. I mean, it even sounds like it could be Hawaiian or something. And they're like a Swedish company.
So, yeah, that's very Swedish. Hoka One One is very Swedish.
Does anybody know what One means in Swedish?
Loosely meaning fly over the earth.
Huh.
Loosely means that.
From the Maori language.
Oh.
Check
yes.
you out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just Googled it. I was trying to figure it out because I didn't.
Check you
I
out. Called your fast fingers.
Yeah, right. That's what. That's...
We could have just asked Lauren. She could have answered that immediately. I don't know what we were doing.
Everything. Just like 99% of
yeah.
things.
All right. That's right. I mean, but believe me, if I'd said Hoka One One, she'd have jumped in. That's no. One One.
That's true. She'd be on you for that.
That's totally true. All right. Coming up, what would it take for you to become a Packers fan? What's the price of admission for that? There's a really interesting story about this because there's somebody who's trying to offer it.
Yeah, specifically cited a Bears fan who would turn Packer fan.
Yeah, and they put a dollar amount on it. And what does that really mean? We'll find out.
Okay.
After Jen DeSalvo's news, which is coming your way in two. If you were offered money to change your sporting allegiance, we ask you from the Rokan Show with Anna DeMontis, would you do it? Now, obviously, we're all for sale. The question is, what is the price?
Oh, wow.
Well, I think it's more than
tough
that.
Way to put it.
How do you technically say that you've changed fandom? Do you never wear your colors of your original team again? You have
of
to
course.
Wear the other colors. You have to only watch those games. You have to only go to those games. Because I could be paid to act.
Like, how do they genuinely
what,
know?
What did I just say? What did I just say? Everybody's got their price.
I mean, what's the number, right? What is it?
Yeah. It would
but you
be,
also have
yes.
to post on social media, you know, about being a Packer fan. You have to dress in the colors. You have to cheer on the team visibly. I mean, you have to be an ambassador for Packer fandom.
Okay, this sounds like a media position. So let's see the average salary of a radio host. Divide that by four. I guess it would be by three because the season goes like 4 months, right? 5 months? And then that would be the payment.
I'm not following your
math. I don't follow the math either.
Are you saying a yearly salary, Jen?
Yeah, like a job. If you got to make it a job, if you got to act the part, if you got to post on social media, it's like a job.
Yeah, acting is a job.
Mm-hmm.
She's not wrong.
That's what they all tell me. And then I find out later, wait, you mean you were acting that? That wasn't real?
Oh, God.
All right, so cabletv.com.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who they are either, will pay you $2,000 to take on the shameful challenge of spending the rest of the football season flying your rival's colors.
Well, if it's as simple as that, that's not that bad.
Well, I don't think you win this challenge if you just sort of do that. You got to, like, go all out.
The perfect applicant is a diehard football fan with a stadium-sized personality.
Uh-huh.
Written by a public relations executive. We're not looking for golf clappers and Super Bowl snackers. Basically, we want an Aaron Rodgers worshiping cheesehead to turn into one of the boys rooting for the Bears. The Bears. Bears.
Bears.
The application closes October 4th, and they'll pick the winner by October 11th. One lucky NFL fan will get paid to watch the rest of the season decked out in their most hated team's jersey, along with other totally not embarrassing swag. I don't know. It, quite honestly, everything that the Packers wear is embarrassing to me, including
green and yellow.
Right.
Alone.
Even the white jersey is embarrassing.
So that clears it up, though. It has to be like your arch rival team, too, because, I mean, to have me cheer for Tom Brady would not really be in the spirit of this particular contest.
And row rooting for Mahomes and the Chiefs wouldn't really
That's
be
right. It really wouldn't, because he does that anyway.
He's mad at me. You know, he's still mad at me about
that.
I know,
because you bring up Mahomes all the time. That's why.
Every Monday and most Fridays.
Every Monday and some, yeah.
And I bring him up a Sunday. I won't shut up about him, because I'm watching the Chiefs on the Sunday ticket if they're not on national television.
Win by another 50 points.
Yes.
I know. I get it.
I mean, it is fun to watch. I always felt like the AFC West was like a very safe addiction for me as a football fan, because as a kid, that's all we could get. You know, you're only, you know, back in my day, you could only get one. The NFL had these really wacky rules. You could only get one NFC game, because all the NFC games were on CBS and the AFC games were on NBC at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could only get one. If you got your home game, that was it. You got no more football. So what you'd have to do is you'd put your antenna really high on on your roof, and you'd try to get the South Bend television station.
Oh, sneaky.
Yeah.
To pick up the others.
Right, to see what was going on there. And then if they were away or whatever, however it worked out, or if the Bears didn't sell out, they used to have that rule too. If they didn't sell out, they wouldn't be on television. So you'd have to put your antenna up to watch the Bears on Channel 22 out of South Bend. I'm talking about the dark ages.
I know.
Couldn't watch the Bears on TV if they didn't sell it. It was like the Hawks.
Right. Now if I miss a touchdown on the Red Zone channel, I'm upset.
Yeah. I know, right.
It's in the bathroom. Dang it. So, come on.
I got to see every piece of Red Zone action.
Rewind it on the live TV. You see every single second of NFL football.
It is crazy the way people watch football these days. My husband does the same thing. You've got multiple televisions going, because you don't want to miss a single moment of anything that's going on the noon games.
I think those of us of a certain age who had to live through that, you know, the lean years, where you literally had to play with your antenna in order to get the game. It was a crazy thing. You know, actually, there's a tradition that goes back to WGN here.
Mm-hmm.
Wally Phillips used to buy out extra tickets. Actually, they said it was Wally Phillips. It was actually GN that would do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they would have a sellout. So if there was under, 1,000 tickets or whatever, where the differential was, they would buy them out so that they get on television.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Yeah.
To do that.
Because it was a ridiculous rule. I don't even know if the NFL still has that rule. They may even still have that rule. Just doesn't affect
So
here.
How long were the Bears on GNTV?
They were on GN Radio.
But were they ever on GNTV?
No. No, they were always on. Well, at least, I mean, maybe they were, back before my time. But there was, once the CBS and NBC contracts were set by the NFL, their national TV contracts. Then there was, and ABC had Monday Night Football, 50 years ago, right? Last week.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really, To me, I going back to the main point here, I couldn't do it. I don't know.
I couldn't do it either.
One other factor, too, would be the season. Like 3 years ago, the John Fox led Bears would be like, nah, okay. This team's, but this year, it's like, they're going to be competing for a division and maybe the Super Bowl.
See, I think it's easier to pretend to be a fan of another team, but if I also had to talk bad about the Bears, that would be more difficult.
No, you gotta do that. No, you gotta do that.
All right, so what's the price here? What are they fishing out?
$2,000. I don't know if that's enough.
That's not enough.
No. They gotta raise that.
I'd maybe do it.
I'd maybe do it for five.
$2 million, I'm in.
I could use the check.
$2 million, you're in.
Wipe out my student loans, I'm in.
All right, Kev's in.
Kev's in.
I don't know about this year. This year's tough.
They said, no, but they're going to wipe out your student
loan debt.
Oh,
see, I'd probably do it. Yeah.
There it starts to get really difficult to say no to.
So it's real for you then. Now it's getting real.
Pay off all my debt. Let's do that. Which isn't that much on top of the student loan. But the student loan's the bulk of it. If you could wipe that out,
go after that.
I'm probably on board.
Green Bay is actually kind of good, right? I mean, we saw what they did with the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
But the last week,
Minnesota.
Minnesota's good, and they just wiped the floor with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. Turned out to be a 5-point game,
but they were
up 21-0 at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look legit. I mean, their defense is completely revamped.
Yeah.
But
sucks.
You know what?
Sucks. The whole thing sucks.
Wipe out my data, man. Whatever. I don't care.
But you visited Green Bay. Those fans are so into it, of course, right? But that
it's
also the tailgating and the whole party around
it.
Might be fun for a weekend.
Just drink heavily, Kevin. You won't even remember that you are a fake fan.
I already do that.
There we go. See, that's exactly what we are encouraging here. As I said earlier, you know, kids, know your drug dealer and drink heavily so you'll forget exactly what's going on. Very important. Yeah. You know, we are the most responsible radio show in America.
It's horrible advice.
Oh, my God.
I bet they'll find a lot of people to do this, though. But I can't imagine posting on social media about Go Packers and Aaron Rodgers is so great.
How many people are they willing to bring aboard?
It's just one.
One fan gets to win. I think you compete by showing what a big Bears fan you are, a big team, you know, a fan of this particular team.
I mean, 2 G's, good amount of cheddar for some people.
But it also doesn't
cover the mortgage for a lot of people, too.
Well, that's what I mean. Some people, two G's for some people is like, whatever. For some people, it's like, oh, my God, I'll do whatever you want for $2,000. I'll kill a man for two G's.
In. Oh, God.
Wow.
That took a turn.
Yeah, it did. But I understand what he's saying.
It's a different contest. Wrong.
Different contest.
Oh, God.
That's
not where we're going. Yeah. This same group, CableTV.com, they get such good pub off this stuff. They were asking Marvel fans to watch all 20 Marvel movies in advance of Avengers Endgame to see if they could. It takes over 40 hours or something do that. CableTV.com. I don't know. They're like a.
Probably Russian troll farm just messing with us.
No, that's what it is. And now,
that's
did you see this?
Figure out.
USDish.com.
Oh, no, another one.
Yeah.
There's another contest?
The Dish Network retailer, USDish.com, is going to pay somebody $1,300 to watch 13 Stephen King movies before it's time for trick-or-treating.
Heck yeah.
I do that.
Lauren does that on the weekend.
Right.
It's a typical weekend for Lauren.
You got to watch Carrie, Children of the Corn, Christine, Creepshow, Cujo, Dreamcatcher, It, The Mist, Pet Sematary, Salem's Lot, The Shining, Thinner, Misery. That's all 13.
Oh, I would love that, actually.
I can't watch Misery.
I like Misery so much.
No, I can't.
Can't be
there was a guy who wrote a blog on doing that whole Marvel Avengers thing of the 23 movies, and I think he all of a sudden like got adult acne after sitting in a theater and eating a ton of popcorn for 3 days or something. I don't know. It was ridiculous. He was so sick afterwards.
What they're going to give you, the company will give you a survival kit, which includes a flashlight, blanket, popcorn, candy, and Stephen King paraphernalia.
How is that going to help you survive?
I don't know. It doesn't really. It's actually going to bloat me a little bit, I think, with the popcorn and the candy.
We'll give you a prescription glasses once you finish watching, since your eyes will be bleeding.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's, maybe some eye drops, a butt cushion. That's a survival kit for that.
Butt cushion. Like, I'm going to be on my butt. I literally am going to be on my back the whole time.
Maybe some tea for your voice after you've been screaming like a little girl for a while.
By the way, that's when people say you scream like a little girl, that's an insult to little girls. They say that to me. That's
well, I am a little, as you know, a person, and I'm a girl. So.
She can say that.
See,
yeah.
She's taking me on even about that. Look at that. See what just happened right
you
there?
You lost that one.
She's correcting me on my correction of a correction.
You can't turn this around.
Yeah, I know. I got it.
I'd love to see who wins this, and I hope it's either a Bears or Packer fan, because it'd be fun to watch the whole thing, you know.
I feel like it would be hard to find a better matchup.
Right, wouldn't it? I mean, there are rivalries in
oh, there's some pretty good
sports.
Ones.
Sports. Is it
speaking
only football?
Of it, yeah. They're looking for that. But I think in the AFC West, right? Isn't that?
Chiefs-Raiders.
Actually, those commercials, I forgot who what the sponsor was, you know, what the commercial was for.
Uh-huh.
But the guy shows up at his wife's family
for Christmas
for
dinner.
Christmas, and they're all wearing Chiefs stuff, and he's got a Raiders jersey on.
Yeah. I know.
You can go Cowboys Giants or Cowboys Redskins. Those are pretty heated.
Yep.
But Bears Packers is nothing like it.
No. Yeah. The oldest rivalry.
Yeah. It is the rivalry in the NFL.
Yeah, so many generations.
Although, you
families.
Know, I got to say, sometimes I think the Green Bay's cheating on us because I think they hate Minnesota more.
Really?
Yeah.
You do?
How dare they?
Yeah. I mean, because they're similarly hokey. I think that's why. You got the two, like, you know, they got like those that whole Minnesota thing, the whole Vikings thing where the horn and the guy who actually looks like a Viking. And I'm absolutely 100% convinced that's how he goes to work every day, too. If that's not a costume for him, the guy who's in the stadium. I think that's, you know, you go to a service station or something in St. Paul, and that's the dude who comes out.
He's standing there just
right.
Looking just like that.
Yeah.
We just got a cute little teddy bear with no pants.
Oh, God.
Staley.
They're bringing
Staley.
Up. He does not count.
I like Staley.
I do not recognize Staley as a Chicago mascot.
Well, remember Staley's reaction to the double doink? I mean, that kind of, you know, that shows
summed
you.
Summed up, yeah.
Summed up everyone's emotions that day.
Dagger to the heart.
Dagger. Total dagger.
He just collapsed right underneath the field goal post.
I mean,
right.
Whoa.
And I was kind of hoping
that was
the only redeeming thing about that. I was hoping that was the end of Staley. That was my hope at that moment.
Oh, man.
That Staley would be gone. You know, that we could do the Staley funeral. Or, I don't know, do you keep the guy in the suit for that? I don't know.
Why are you so against Staley?
Oh, it's the worst. I like, you know, again.
You
again,
hate Clark the Cub as well?
I do.
He doesn't wear pants. That's kind of creepy.
Right. I just.
Like, none of them do, though.
Well, Yogi made that famous.
I think most, like, cartoon animal characters don't have pants.
Tommy Hawk's cool.
Yeah. Tommy Hawk's
part-time security guard in the concourse.
He'll take you on, right, misbehaving fans.
When he takes a guy down, you know, that is a mascot, my friends.
Southpaw just kind of appeared one day, like, oh, the Sox have a mascot. It's a big green thing. Okay, we'll roll with it. Southpaw, go Southpaw.
There he is.
Right. And the Bulls have a good one, too.
Benny the Bull's the all-time great mascot.
Yeah.
So
he's doing, like, 800 flips from half court, throwing it down.
That's okay. But these, you know, the big lumpity-umpity-dumpties that are just, you know, walking around back there. I got no interest in any of that.
It's tough to do a lot of acrobatics in that costume. He can't be like Benny.
Well, then get him up. Let's do it. There used
well,
to be a bear. There used to be
a
the Chicago Bear. I don't think he had a name. Was a guy in a literally in a suit that kind of looked like a bear, but it was like a onesie with a normal sized bear head.
Uh-huh. He just got inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
It was kind of matted. It looked like it was always dirty, right? It was like the same thing for 40 years because I don't think George Halas wanted to pay for another one of those suits. And it was just, the guy would run out on the field in front of the team, and then you'd forget about him.
I think there's enough characters at Soldier Field on a Sunday afternoon.
Yes.
the guy who puts the actual bear head on his head, the bear man guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy I was referring to. He's actually in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that guy.
That guy, not the actual mascot. But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's enough characters in the seats at a Bears game.
What Hall of Fame is that?
The Pro Football Hall of Fame.
In Canton?
Yes. Right, he got into it this year.
All right. We got to explain that. You have to explain that to me later because I got to take a break. I'm being told they're yelling at me. New owners and everything. We got to do what we got to do. All right. We got a top 5-5 coming your way. But first, let's check in with Jen. What's coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at the top of the hour?
Apple orchards are reeling from the harsh seasons that we had this year, winter, spring, and summer. I'll tell you what some of them plan to do, though, this fall.
We'll be right back.
records in today, so I'm just going to keep...
Yeah, back in your DJ days.
Mm-hmm.
Rokon DJ Becca.
I just wish I knew what the DJ thing was going to turn into.
Yes, you were just too soon. It was too... You're before your time, yeah, as they like to say.
I could have been playing Lala. I could have been up there with a big mouse head or something on my shoulders.
Electronic dance music just took off. Probably, what, a decade after you got finished with it all?
Everybody's a DJ now.
I know!
Even Pete Wentz the other night. Mr. Fallout Boy. All he did, he was the DJ the whole night.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I thought he'd sing, but he didn't.
Which was cool. I mean, he did a great job. It was fun, but it's like, oh, I didn't know he's a DJ now. Everybody's a DJ.
Right. Everybody's a DJ. Because they get paid big bucks to be a DJ.
Yes. Right. And what am I doing? I'm sitting here.
You could still DJ.
You know, working my larynx out to the bone.
You're really tough work.
Right. It could be, you know, right. I should be spinning the tunes on my Mac ProBook or whatever it is.
It is funny when that's all they have. It's like a stripped down DJ. They don't even have it all. It's just a MacBook Pro.
Right, MacBook Pro. I know. But they, and instead of having the little wheels that they've got, they don't even have that.
No, it's just a bunch of rubber buttons.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. What is the point?
It's a free app, actually, so it's really easy.
Yeah. And you can they build the stuff, and then they sit there and they act like they're doing something. It's all been pre-recorded.
Right. That's what always gets me. It's like, what are they doing?
All right. Anyway. I'm sorry.
I think it all worked out for you, Ro. You're having a good run.
Yeah, maybe that's true. All right. Thanks. Thanks, Kev. Thanks for supporting me on that. That's real important. Like, all right, here we go.
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four. Three. Two. One.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna Taplantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
I don't know. I'm a little scared. Mm-hmm. I don't know where this is all going to end up. Here's Secretary of State Mike Pompeo before he's on his way to Riyadh talking about the Iranian strike on the Saudi oil fields.
This was an Iranian attack. It's not the case that you can subcontract out the devastation of 5% of the world's global energy supply. It doesn't change the fingerprints of the Ayatollah as having put at risk the global energy supply.
Okay. I don't know. I hear drum beats here, and I don't know if I know. Feel about all of this.
I don't like the way it's going. I mean, I think the only... Iran's foreign minister releasing that... released this afternoon that they are seeking de-escalation, but they'll deliver a crushing response to any military action. It does seem as if some sorts of action are being considered at this moment.
Yeah.
Locked and loaded does seem like it's that sort of language.
All right, checking in at
number four.
So the president praised his new pick for national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, and he was on his way to San Diego before boarding Air Force One. Here's what he said.
Mr. O'Brien is highly respected. He was highly respected by so many people that I didn't even know really knew him. He did a tremendous job on hostage negotiation, really tremendous, like unparalleled. We've had tremendous success in that regard, brought home many people. And through hostage negotiation, I got to know him very well myself. But also, a lot of people that I respect rated him as their absolute number one choice. So, you know, I think we have a very good chemistry together, and I think we're going to have a great relationship. He is a very talented man.
Was it Ivanka or Jared who liked him better? I'd like to know the answer.
He did help out with the ASAP Rocky trial.
Yes.
He was there.
Right. That's his last. The last thing on his resume was getting ASAP Rocky freed. I mean, he wasn't a hostage.
No, he just.
ASAP Rocky was under arrest.
Things didn't look good for ASAP Rocky.
He was locked up overseas or whatever that. What was the name?
Locked up abroad.
Locked up abroad is what he was.
I used to watch that series. Doesn't always end well for everyone on that show. But for ASAP Rocky, it seems like it might be okay.
Right. Well, it was Sweden, right? Was
it
in Sweden?
Right.
I mean, that's got. First of all, the problem with that, being locked up abroad in Sweden, is you have to build your own bed. And the instructions don't make sense.
The IKEA instructions?
Yeah.
And you can't get that guy who does it for you because you're in prison.
So, yeah. Well, whatever. It's a Swedish prison. How bad could it be?
Do you wear Hoka One One's since they're Swedish?
Those are the shoes that we learned about earlier, right?
Yeah. Hoka One One. And not Hoka One One, just in case anybody's wondering. All right. Now, here's the thing, though. president was then asked about Lindsey Graham. You know what's going on here? You know, Lindsey Graham has become the biggest kiss butt in the history of kiss butting.
I don't know about that.
Butt kissing.
Pretty close.
I mean, he is just, I mean, it is like he went from, you know, being, you know, sort of weird, tough guy to now like, you know, I love the way your hair looks, Mr. President. I mean, it's strange.
What he said kind of guy.
Yeah. But he has broken with the president now on the issue of responding, retaliating against Iran the first time around when Iran blew up our drone, which was, as we learned from Congressman Kinzinger, like over $100 million.
Right. $150 million drone.
Right.
Not a small thing.
It was a big item, and it's important. All this equipment on board of it.
Technology.
And, yeah. And so it's, you know, so then Lindsey Graham basically said that we showed weakness by not retaliating. Remember, the president was going to have a retaliation. They said he didn't. He wouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And Lindsey Graham tweeted that that was weak. And the president does not like to be called weak.
No, I actually think it's a sign of strength. We have the strongest military in the world now. And I think it's a great sign of strength. It's very easy to attack. But if you ask Lindsey, ask him, how did going into the Middle East, how did that work out? And how did going into Iraq work out? So we have a disagreement on that. And, you know, there's plenty of time to do some dastardly things. It's very easy to start. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I think we have a lot of good capital. If we have to do something, we'll do it without hesitation.
Yeah, he says we have the strongest military now, like we didn't before.
Just when did I take office? What date was that?
It was, we were in such bad shape. But really, I don't seem to think that's actually
true. Did use the word dastardly, though.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's interesting because I'm starting to believe that there is a bit of a method to his madness, that there are moments where he is actually throwing out a bunch of distraction. And he says a lot of different things just to keep the ball moving and, you know, keep it in the center of the court because he's not quite sure where he's going to go with it. So I think it's interesting that he keeps his powder dry, which it plays against the type that he presents himself as, right?
This could be the most dangerous of circumstances if you didn't do that.
Okay. Well, as he said, we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
Right, coming up on the next version and the next episode of the United States of America.
Oh, gee.
All right, let's check in now with Jen. What's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Residents of Itasca are stepping out to protest a rehab facility that wants to move in. The reason's coming up in just a few minutes.
Catch Living Healthy Chicago this Saturday at 9 a.m. Learn about the struggles and successes of everyday Chicagoans with health and fitness. Living Healthy Saturday at 9 a.m. on WGN-TV.
Top 5 continues. We've worked our way to
number 3.
All right. Now, John Travolta, not only super talented, he's also got a big heart. The actor flew to the Bahamas with food, water, and emergency supplies to help with Hurricane Dorian relief efforts. He posted this message on the gram.
Okay, so we're here. We've just arrived. We're unloading the food and the water and supplies. The Freeport Community Center is open for receiving goods for everyone in need here. We can't get enough volunteers, so please, I inspire you to come down and help. Thanks.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
I love that he still sounds like Danny Zuko.
I know.
That's pretty does.
It really is how he sounds.
It's like, it's the greaser bad boy helping out in the Bahamas. How sweet.
Oh, he's got no hair now, though. We did
He rocks it, though. He's rocking the look.
Yep. There's a podcast up of he spending time with us from a couple of weeks ago. And go to WGNradio.com for that. Really, he's an interesting guy. He's fascinating. And he does have a huge heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad he's doing that. That is such that the devastation on Grand Bahama and the Abaco
is
just terrible.
It's horrifying to look at. To think about what those people have gone through. And John Travolta is a pilot, right? So he flew down himself and took care of this business, you know, because he wanted to. Just did the whole thing himself.
Right. He lives in Central Florida.
Right. And so it's perfect. You
know, flew over and that flight from Florida to, it's 20 minutes to the Bahamas.
There you go.
I mean,
he's probably like, it's right there. Why don't I just get my plane, pack up some supplies, some food, and all the things that those people really need, and do it.
They're our next door neighbors. Yeah. And I think it's incumbent upon us to think about what's going on there, because they're amazing people. Anybody who's spent any time in the Bahamas will tell you that it's a great place to visit. The people are wonderful. The hospitality is amazing, and it's just, you know, what's happening there is unspeakable in the northern part of that chain. All right, let's move along to
number two.
Mariah Carey has now expanded in the world of catchy sitcom theme songs. What? Mixed-ish, right, is the new, it's the follow-on to Black-ish, and it's about a mixed-race couple.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the promos were excellent.
I haven't really seen them.
Looks fun. Well, Black-ish is a really good show.
It is.
You can see it on Channel 9 now. But it is it's very well-written, and Mixed-ish looks like it's a really good, really, really good sort of, you know, next evolution of that. So here is a song called In the Mix.
I like it.
It's just a sweet, sweet fantasy.
I was going to say, it sounds just like her other one.
With the Heartbreaker. It sounds like Heartbreaker. Yeah. Remember that one?
Mm.
Heartbreak, you got the best of me. You keep coming back.
Here's the thing. Every Mariah Carey song sort of sounds like every other Mariah Carey song that's got that kind of a beat, because Mariah Carey sings 40 different things in the song. She's singing over herself, around herself, across herself. Now, if you had Mariah Carey's voice and you were a producer, you're like, oh, I'm going to use as much as I possibly can.
Why wouldn't you? Super talented. Wow. How about that? They got Mariah Carey to do the theme song.
All right. And finally,
number one.
We've been spending most of our lives living in an Amish paradise.
You say Amish?
Yes. Yeah, remember Weird Al?
Of course we do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wasn't it originally Bachelor Paradise? What was it? What was the original one?
Gangster Paradise.
Okay, right.
Bachelor in Paradise.
I couldn't remember it. I was like, wait a minute. It's in my head, but I can't remember it. Okay, Gangster.
Right. Stevie Wonder.
What?
Police officers. Yeah, well, the original.
Don't even get me going.
No, the original that's based on Pastime Paradise by Stevie Wonder. That's the original.
Oh, it was Stevie Wonder originally.
Yes. Okay. And then Gangster Paradise. And now Amish Paradise. Anyway, this has nothing like, to do with number
we'll come back.
One.
Wasn't it the Michelle Pfeiffer movie?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. All right, we'll stop. Get back to it.
Police officers often say that no traffic stop is routine, and there was nothing routine when a deputy pulled over an Amish buggy in the early hours of the morning in North Bloomfield, Ohio. The county chief deputy, Joe Dragovich, was on patrol in the heart of the Amish community when he spotted a buggy uniquely outfitted with a large stereo system. He saw. Now, wait a second. Now, wait a second. So he saw two Amish men drinking inside the buggy. Oh, no! A 12-pack of beer on top of the vehicle. Now, when the deputy attempted to stop and question the two men, the horse pulling the buggy took off running.
It's the cops! Go!
They ran? Do they need license plates on their buggies?
Oh, sure.
So then,
yeah.
Okay.
So there it goes. So they disappeared into a heavily wooded area on the side of the road.
Uh-oh.
Right? Eventually, catching up a short distance away, the deputy had the buggy towed from the scene, and the horse was turned over to, I don't know, what do you take?
I don't know.
I think you got to arrest the horse in this situation.
I don't know. Did they cuff the hooves?
Oh, for God.
Poor horse. He's the only one who got taken.
The horse was turned over to a local farmer for safekeeping until the owner can be identified.
Unfortunately, they're not licensed, you know, as far as the buggy goes, but it is a vehicle, it's on the roadway, and the OVI laws do apply. You're not allowed to drink and drive or operate a buggy. I've never operated an Amish buggy with a horse, but I'm told that the horse will know the way home, regardless if the operator is awake or even in the buggy. And that horse, I think, just went a little further down the road and on an oil gas well road and stop. There's just that fear of the consequences.
Yes, of course.
And that would be a reality for them, that there are consequences.
Was the horse drinking?
I encourage them to come forward, get their buggy and horse.
Man, that horse would have been gone if it wasn't for that buggy still attached to it. He would never got caught.
And now, is the horse when it runs out into the forest, go, hey, you got the wrong guy here.
Wasn't me.
I mean, the buggy? Yeah. And my buddy left it. My cousin, he was the horse, and he actually left me with the buggy.
Uh-huh.
This is my cousin's buggy. This is not my buggy.
That's exactly what happened.
Do they have good lawyers in Amish country? He's going to need one.
Did you ever see, what was it? What's the Harrison Ford movie when he's, you know, he has to go out to Amish country and, you know.
Oh, it's something like Witness or?
Yeah, right. And I mean, you know, you see what a lot of stuff goes on there.
Perfect setting.
All right. You know what?
Yeah.
I got to go.
Okay.
The top five at five.
Righteous Black Crowes there for you.
Nice.
All right. We got to clear up a few things. We got a number of spills during the show today, and we're going to clean them all up on aisle five right now. First of all, earlier in the day, we were talking about the Bears. They have a fan. The guy who puts the bear hat on, the bear head on, right? Mm-hmm. It's a little creepy because I think that might really be a bear's
head.
Yeah,
it does look very realistic in terms of, it's not like something you get at a costume shop everywhere.
No, it's like the top half of the bear head, missing the bottom jaw and the neck part and all that. It's something. Is it that guy? Now, Kevin claims that guy has been placed in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio.
That guy?
Yeah.
Known as Beer Man Don Wachter, enshrined today. This is from his story from earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. Enshrined today in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the new Ford Hall of Fame's exhibit area. He's from Plainfield, Illinois. Everybody knows this guy, as Ro was just explaining to him. He actually did...
Well, he's on the Jumbotron at games.
He's on the Jumbotron, and he actually used to run on the field carrying a large Bears flag from 1998 to 2004. He's been a Bears season ticket holder of 33 years. He gets up at 3 a.m. before every Bears home game to paint his face and suit up. And then
he gets
the tailgate going around 5 a.m. So the Hall of Fame created this Hall of Fans. He was part of the inaugural class this year.
Wow.
So he's actually a pro. They get a Hall of Fans blue jacket instead of the gold jacket the Hall of Famers get. I don't know how they settled on that, but he's actually in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Wow.
I wasn't making it up. It wasn't some like group of fans who made a Hall of Fame. This is legit.
How long have they been doing the Hall of Fame fan thing?
This is the inaugural year.
This is the first year. Okay, because I'm like, I've never heard of this.
Yeah.
What an honor.
Yeah, and then two other fans were part of the inaugural class, a Dolphins fan and a Steelers fan. So good for this guy, Don Wachter.
What about the guy, I mean, I think this is posthumous, but there was the guy in Dallas who used to dress as a cowboy, and I think he might have passed away, though. He was from the 70s into the 80s, I think into the 90s he was there.
And what about
Dallas used to call him the Black Cowboy because they'd never seen one of those before in Texas. So that was a separate issue.
But he was
one of the most iconic of those super fans.
And what about the Jets Fireman Ed?
Yeah, what about him?
He always does the whole JETS thing.
Yes,
Jets. Jets.
Now,
Redskins. Remember the fans with the pigs? They were the hogs up front. Remember them?
Now Fireman Ed, I think, got removed.
Because he was misbehaving?
No, really? I think that they did. I have a friend who's a big Jets fan, and so we were talking about this, and I was like, Fireman Ed, you know, I went to a Jets game a couple years ago, and I thought, I want to see Fireman Ed. They go, no, we don't talk about him anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't talk? He's a fan! And how do you remove a fan? Someone should look that. Can anybody look
What's his...
He quit.
Oh, he quit.
He retired.
He said that the Jets, he couldn't be a fan anymore.
Oh, because they're so bad?
They suck.
He gave
at
up?
Such an amazing level.
Yeah, you can't be in the Hall of Fans inaugural class if you're turning your back on your team. Roger Avila from the Miami Dolphins, he also was part of the class. He's known as Dolphin Maniac.
Okay.
56-year-old from Miami.
I cannot picture him.
Neither can I. And then there was also Rick Holman, a Steelers fan.
What's he known for?
He's not really. Holman, 40, of Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. A high school history teacher and volunteer youth softball coach. At age 21, he sold nearly everything he owned to buy Steelers season tickets and has been a ticket holder for 18 straight years. This lifelong fan even has his baby pictures in Steelers onesies. So, diehard there.
Yeah, selling all your stuff, that's pretty extreme.
21-year-old, what do you want to do with your life? I'm going to sell everything I own so I can buy a Steelers ticket.
And one day, I'm going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
And I'll have the last laugh, Mom and Dad.
Yeah, right, honey. Do your homework. And look at him now. Look at him now.
Have you settled on a major yet? No, I'm going to sell everything so I can become a Steelers super fan. Okay, honey. Good luck.
Have we heard of this for any sport before? Do they do a fan Hall of Fame?
That's a good question. I don't think so.
I haven't heard of this. Okay.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good idea. They were all based on online votes, though, so it's really kind of a fan favorite sort of thing, too.
Yeah, popularity contest.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know why the Dallas guy didn't get in.
Wait, what's the Dallas guy's? He was just a Dallas Cowboy fan.
He was a super fan kind of guy.
I don't remember.
I mean, decades this guy was there.
They would show him on every touchdown.
He was dressed as a cowboy. And he had like six shooters and stuff. And I think they were probably in Texas. They're probably real guns. He was carrying into the stadium with him.
It was probably allowed then.
Right. Fire him off there.
I can't even
find pictures.
I think there was
an African American.
Let's see. Nope, not though.
I hesitate to type in Google Dallas Cowboys African American fan. I don't want that in my browser history. In 2019,
called into the new boss's office.
Right,
Kevin. We've noticed that you're trafficking in racist websites.
You need some extra HR training for Kevin.
It was show content. I swear, it was for show content.
Also, this googling a busty MILF is also a problem.
Something about a Ted Cruz video.
Just because Ted Cruz likes it doesn't mean you'd have to, or you can.
It's an accident. I didn't mean to like it. I was just scrolling through my Twitter timeline.
I log in as Cochran anyway, so that's all going to end
safe.
Up. His,
very safe.
Yeah, it's his deal, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, congratulations to our Chicago Bears.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Mm-hmm. And I also saw that Eddie Pinheiro, that ball is being auctioned off. Game winner.
Really?
Yeah.
For like Bears Care? That's it.
That's a pretty good.
Is that his idea?
I don't think so. I don't think Eddie Pinheiro is allowed to have ideas yet.
Is there a rough number, though, yet? For how much it's going to go for?
I don't think.
I wonder what Don Wachter would pay for that football.
Oh. What is that? Does Don Wachter have. Does it say what he does other than be a Bears fan?
Let me run through the report here. Stall while I look through this.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's what we will do.
I just like that 4 years ago there was a Jay Cutler signed ball at a charity event and no one bid for it.
Wait, really?
Then eventually someone felt bad, so they put down like $60 and won.
That's all it goes for.
Yeah.
That was overspending, I think.
Right.
I'm not sure you'd get that back.
All right. At Dick's, how much would that ball go for? Pardon the expression. By the way, it's Crazy Ray. Is that the name of that's the name of the Dallas Cowboy?
Crazy
fan.
Ray.
Yeah.
And is he?
He's passed away.
With us?
I knew
okay.
he passed away.
Oh, okay. Well, that maybe you can't get into the Hall of Fame in that way.
You wouldn't want to put a guy posthumously yet?
No, not yet. It's fans. Come on. The first year you want to have some fun with it, they got to show up. He probably could be nominated in future years.
Maybe Crazy Ray's family wants to be there to and just imagine they got to put him in. He's the most iconic fan of all times.
With daughter Crazy Rhea.
There you go.
Yeah, I don't see what he does. I mean, I'm assuming he's got a gig somehow, somewhere.
All right, okay. We're all over the place here. But all right, so Eddie Pinheiro's ball, I think, you know, that's somebody's going to go big on that. Because that, that's the turnaround moment for these Chicago Bears.
Really?
You hope so.
Yeah.
Eddie Pinheiro said today he took a boat tour of Chicago. He's starting to get to know the city. I think he's settling a little bit. He's like, maybe they're going to keep me here, guys.
I'm not afraid to stay indoors.
Let's go. Let's fall in love with this city. Let's not get attached to it too soon. But
he's like Alligator Rob now.
Right.
That's right.
We saw him at Green Tide Ball. Alligator Rob was there. Yeah. He's you know, he goes to all the big swanky affairs now.
That's what we got. This is we're turning into, we're looking for a lot of things in this town right now. we need a hero, apparently.
And this one wears a bear's head.
Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations to him. All right. Thank you very much. Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up? Or not Kim. This is, of course, not Kim. It is Jen. What do you have in the news at the top of the hour?
Apple plans to use recycled rare earth metals in its iPhones, and robots are going to do the job.
All right. We got White Sox baseball coming your way after the 6 o'clock news.
Nice.
We got, if you're looking for Blackhawks, they are playing Detroit.
Go ahead and say it.
They who suck. Detroit sucks. At the United Center tonight. It's the first time you get to see them and the new Jumbotron.
Oh, yeah. That looks so amazing. It was already amazing.
Yeah.
It was just like they improved on amazing.
So now the Jumbotron, which used to be sort of over the logo, the Hawks logo at the center of the ice, it now this Jumbotron now is as wide as blue line to blue line.
Oh man!
So think about that for a second.
Oh, that's so cool!
Yeah, it's going to be
outrageous.
It's going to be something. It's gonna
quite be something. The fan experience.
Mm-hmm. It always is, and same thing for the Bulls, right? Mm-hmm. Except it's a little, I think it's even lower. Don't they lower it for basketball?
I don't know about that, Kev.
There's actually video boards like inside of it that can come down even farther.
Yeah.
It's like a giant robot hanging over the ice. It's pretty crazy.
It's right. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all of this, quite honestly. I'm just hoping that they got all the, you know, all the guys who, you know, get up there and got to tie the thing up there, you know. It's all good.
That's dangerous work.
Yeah. That is really something. All right. So that is tonight. The radio version of that's going to be on AM 1000 for those who want to listen to the Blackhawks there.
Or you can stream it.
Stream it at WGNradio.com. We prefer that you do.
Or our app.
Yeah, we like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we that's our that's cuz we're on often when the White Sox are on.
Mhm.
That tonight cuz we got, you know, the hockey and the pregame and all that stuff. So it's and we're on the app and we're on the stream, we're on all
the app's
places.
So easy too. You just download the app, you got it, you press it and you press play.
That's it.
And you're in.
That's all you gotta do.
Mm-hmm.
Jen's news coming your way in 2 minutes.